got you all. So we didn't talk about APC or no more carb stuff, but
you ready?
So we're ready to go.
Okay. Well, welcome to the October 12, 2016 Executive Committee meeting. We'll start with a roll call, please, Alyssa.
Ms. Arnold?
I'm here.
Mr. Smuckler?
Yes.
Mr. Hill is absent.
Okay. And we don't have anyone here for public comments. No? Okay. We'll open and close public comment then and get right into Executive Committee business, item number one, which is the minutes of the August 24, 2016 meeting. And I didn't have any corrections there. Did you, Debbie?
I know.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and move approval of those minutes. Okay.
I'll
Noah, motion. And Debbie, second.
Thank you.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. And then now, Larry, we'll go ahead and start on number two, reviewing for the November 16th, 2016 APCD board meeting.
Okay, great. So we have several presentations to start the meeting with. The first one to you, Noah, for your, you know, as board chair leadership, and then recognition for three board members that are actually leaving the board, yourself included, darn. And
wait,
school's out for summer.
I think happy feet under the table.
And then we also have a couple of service employee service awards there too. So this part of the agenda is probably going to take, I would say, 20 minutes, I would imagine, for those. And
let's see what we can do. Maybe 20?
Well, I mean, we have presentations to... We have four board presentations and two employees.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So
people want to say nice things.
Yeah.
That's
we'll try to.
So for six,
I'll try to
six presentations
move us along
in 20 minutes.
Couple.
That's not very much for.
Yeah.
That's like 3 minutes.
That's being realistic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. It might even be.
We'll get overloaded with it.
Yeah. No. And then on consent. Is all the regular stuff except for, you know, we do have the approval of changes to employee compensation. So I imagine that'll get pulled for discussion, but that's normally where it goes, is on the consent agenda, because the board has already said that they were in favor of that in closed session.
There was no official action.
Yeah.
That's only discussion.
Well, that is correct. Yeah, there was. They indicated that they would support that. So then, under board business, we have one revision to a Rule 424, that is actually going to loosen some requirements for some. Private fleets right now that currently would have to install phase two vapor recovery, and we're trying to exempt some specific fleets from that because we don't believe it's needed for them, so then save them some money in so doing. So that's that one revision. And then we've got the fiscal plan for consideration. And joint presentation by Parks and the Air Resources Board. So I have confirmation from ARB that they can attend. I haven't heard back yet from State Parks, but I hope to hear from them soon. I do have a meeting with the new director in a couple of weeks just to kind of talk to each, introduce ourselves and talk to each other and so forth.
Right.
So just him and I.
Do you think there's a chance that they'll be able to attend?
I do. I'm hopeful. You know, I've indicated to him that it would be a great opportunity for him to introduce himself to the board and discuss what his goals and objectives are as the new director, you know, related to implementation of things. So I'm hoping he can find a way to clear his calendar and make it here for that.
Great. This is likely the model component. Is going to need more time, like you mentioned at the last meeting.
I think that they'll be able to report that the model is about ready for use at that point in time. That's what I have heard. And so we should be, there's not going to be a lot of new stuff to report to the board, I don't think, other than what's happened in the past year. But I think we can say that we are going to be actively drilling down into using the model now and hopefully have some information for the board at the next board meeting.
Great. Thanks for getting this on there, Larry. I know it might have been easier just to wait until the model was done to get everyone to
right.
Hear, but I really appreciate you trying to get this presentation
sure.
Because there have been a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think it's good. We do it in November typically anyhow, although I was looking for it last year and it actually occurred in January, so actually we had one in January instead of November, I think because there was just a lot going on in November. So, and then the last one is, this I think, Noah, was something that you asked for at the last board meeting, and I'm not quite sure if this is going to stay there or not. I got to find an appropriate representative to come talk about that. It might be someone from the Resource Conservation District. It could be someone from another air district that are implementing these programs related.
I'm still asking, so I'm wondering what that is, what this is about.
Eric Greening brought this up
right
in response to our discussion, kind of upper level discussion about shipping and just the fire loads, fuel loads that are existing, and he was suggesting this as a alternative to reduce air pollution.
Right.
And carbon sequestration, and I brought it up just because I've heard
yeah.
It could have some potential,
right?
So at least for us to be aware of.
So biochar is, and I don't really fully know all the details of it, Debbie, but it's a process where they take downed timber or green waste products of any kind, and rather than burning them out in the open, they burn them through kind of an oxidation process where you're not actually releasing the emissions to the atmosphere, and especially you're not releasing the carbon to the atmosphere. And so...
What is that? I'm guessing that he's talking about, because I've heard Eric in a few places talk about, the tree mortality statewide.
Right.
And I keep saying that I think our native oak tree mortality is going to be just as high as what we see in the sea. We were talking about, Larry.
Yeah.
One day, because I see a lot of the photos, the stark contrast of the pine trees, brown and green. And
right.
Say, oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's,
but above, it's, when you're in the air here, you see oak trees with green leaves, and then you just... The sticks don't even really, it doesn't make a contrast. So I don't think we're seeing it like they are on the Sears, but I think it's there and continuing, and so going to be there. In other words, we'll have a lot of
right
tree mortality, native tree mortality. But
and we already have huge tree mortality in Cambria,
yeah.
Exactly.
But I guess what I'm asking is what you just said, an oxidation process.
Right.
Tell me practically how that works.
Well, it's basically a combustion. It's an internalized combustion device that actually burns up the wood in an internal chamber of some sort and reduces it into basically charcoal.
I know that this was an area, or North County was, I don't know, maybe the whole county was, but in the early 1900s, they produced charcoal here.
Okay.
And I don't think they did it with what you're talking
no.
about. So, like,
no. Because this avoids actually releasing the carbon dioxide and the other combustion pollutants to the atmosphere.
Sorry.
And so, well, I mean, it does release some other combustion pollutants, but it retains the carbon there in the actual biochar, and so you actually are not contributing to greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and can actually be used as, and then when you apply it to the soil, it's a water retention, soil retention, and actual nutrient base for the soil itself, and so it. And I will have more information about at the next time.
I appreciate you even giving it a shot because clearly we're going to hear about it if it's on the agenda.
And if we can keep it on the agenda. So I have to find someone to speak about it first and about how it might be applied here in this county. So I got to get staff on finding that. And if we can't do it at this meeting, maybe we can do it at the January meeting. We can invite Noah to attend and hear.
Yeah, I didn't. I brought it up as something to have on our radar, and I think your approach is good to start to investigate more from staff perspective and come back to the board when you think there's something worthwhile.
Yeah.
Particularly if it looks like we're running into quorum issues, some of these other items are going to take some time. So,
yeah,
I think leaving it tentative is a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, they are going to take some time. And we have closed session as well to deal with because we got to do my evaluation. And
we don't want to,
Frank's contract discussion.
Coming to an end, we don't want to get them too worked up.
I'll be doing that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so we'll stay in touch on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. Okay. Absolutely. So that's pretty much it right there. So hopefully it'll go fairly smooth.
Yeah. Sounds good to you, Debbie?
Yeah, great.
Great.
So I'll move that we... do we need to make a motion to accept the draft?
Oh, okay. Could I ask a real quick question from closed session? If it's appropriate, you can tell me.
Of course.
But what is still pending litigation with Friends of the Ocean? I'm starting to lose track.
No, it's easy to lose track.
Okay, good.
I probably won't have anything to report because it's all slowed down, but there were 5 cases. The first one was the main case. That's resolved, so that's done.
That's the one.
The second one is the challenge to the permit that was issued by the district. That's going to be coming to hearing pretty soon, but it's been postponed.
Oh, that wasn't part of the big deal.
Friends of the Dunes filed 5 separate lawsuits. It's just they've been peppering everybody with lawsuits.
Yeah. And we have actually recommended that it just be dismissed.
Right, that's our position.
Right, it's moved. Yeah.
I'm sorry, can I ask what the first one then?
First one was a challenge to Rule 1001.
The challenge to the rule in general.
Everything. The second one was just a challenge to the permit that was issued after the rule was adopted and after they lost their lawsuit the first time. So that one's moot, and that's what we're trying to get the court to dismiss. The third lawsuit, Friends of the Dunes 3, is a challenge to the consent decree agreement between state parks and the district. And so Friends of the Dunes sued state parks and the district. So we're jointly defending that with the Attorney General's office. And hasn't been set for hearing yet. The fourth one is a suit by Friends of the Dunes against just state parks. And that one has to do with the EIR, or the environmental determination that was issued for the mitigation measures that they did last year, basically. And then the fifth one is a challenge against the Coastal Commission, naming state parks and the district as real parties in interest.
Which were named as a real party in interest in the state parks.
And that's a suit against the Coastal Commission for the coastal permit that they issued to do the temporary mitigation measures. So it just keeps going on and on.
Yeah.
So on C3 in our agenda, when we talk about required by Rule 101, the number one, the challenge to Rule 101, and number two, dismissing Rule 101 doesn't change that there is no requirement. The requirement still stands.
Well, the requirement of Rule 1001 still stands.
It's just the permitting process that got...
We just got rid of the permitting process.
Which we did before that lawsuit was even appealed. Or when it was appealed.
That was the result of the agreement between state parks and the county, and the district that the board approved and state parks approved. So since that time, state parks and the district have been on the same page. And so they're still implementing this stuff, but there's no permit
requirement.
We just agreed to dismiss, to get rid of that as part of
it. Okay, so that's the word sometimes can be given. So there's no real requirement. It's more about cooperating.
Well, no, there is a requirement. The only requirement that's not there, Debbie, is in the rule had several requirements in it, in it, including milestones to meet the compliance. It's got a performance standard. It has monitoring requirements. And it had a requirement for them to apply for a permit.
And just
that, requirement for the permit has been struck.
Okay. So
the rest of it stands.
And then, and so I'm sorry I interrupted. So will we, if we talk about this, you said we might not even, is that what you said?
Say it again. If
we talk, session, we may not talk about
we may not have anything
okay,
to discuss.
Okay, so it's just listed for just in case. Okay.
Just in case.
Okay.
So it's just a placekeeper. Okay. I'll make a decision before the meeting if there is something that's happened that I need to report.
Okay. Thank you for.
Otherwise, it'll just be Larry's evaluation that the board needs to go
okay.
through.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Is that answer?
No, it's perfect, and I don't know. We know how many lawsuits are floating around.
Right.
And we haven't talked about it.
I
lost track of exactly.
Well, and the two that we're directly involved in, one of them we believe is entirely moot, which it's over the permit, and the permit, that issue has been totally resolved.
Which is dismiss the ruling.
That's number two. Yeah, number two. And number three is about the consent, they're claiming we illegally modified the rule in adopting the consent decree.
By removing the permit requirement.
Yeah, by removing the permit requirement that they sued us over in the first one. So it's pretty convoluted.
But does the court usually allow you to dismiss, or would friends oppose dismissing, or do you expect a judge to just say, fine.
You're refusing to dismiss. We've asked it. Yes.
Okay.
We've said, look, just dismiss it at this point. It's moot. And
so what do they gain by not dismissing?
Continuing to litigate with us.
Just more fees.
Wear us out.
That's it?
Yeah.
Does the judgment on item number one, the Boldy challenge, have any bearing that helps you predict what would happen if they keep number two or not?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good question, and that's our entire argument, is that the decision of the court in ruling case number one makes case number two completely moot.
Okay.
There's nothing left for the court to decide. In fact, that one's in front of Judge LaBarger, and he actually raised it himself. He said, look,
why are we still here? Kind of the same thing?
Right.
I said, Your Honor, I just asked my colleague that. And he said, well, I don't want to dismiss, I'm not sure, and so...
Yeah.
He's basically forcing us to continue to defend it and get a court order dismissing it.
So then do we have to keep paying to litigate 3, 4, and 5 even though they're not really directly?
Well, 3 is directly related to us, yes, because that's our consent decree. So we need to stand with state parks to uphold that, in my opinion. If we want to, because we've made an agreement.
Well, and that is still the basis of...
That's our
implementation of the rule, basically. Yeah.
4 and 5, though, no. And we're named. We need to represent ourselves.
Just pay attention.
Yeah.
We have to pay attention to it. We don't have to do anything. We don't have a laboring warrant. So those, I'm taking the position. Those, we don't have a dog in that fight, really. I can't recommend that we abandon state parks because they made a deal with us and their friends.
But we don't have huge legal fees on these two.
No.
We don't. Not at this point. Not anymore.
Yeah. And they're not directly against us, so there wouldn't be any judgment issued against us in any event of how those come out.
Thank you for the update.
Sure.
Now it takes another year before we discuss this.
No, it'll be before the
I hope it's just all done.
Nice.
And then finally on item A, we will be sending out next week, probably on Monday, the evaluation forms for the APCO. Try to give the board 10 days or so, if we have enough time to get it back to us, and then we'll compile and just simply bring it back to the board for discussion for whatever you want to do.
Which brings us to the need to, we need to set a special meeting of the executive committee just for that. And so we've been checking calendars. Alyssa, did you talk to Noah?
I didn't have a chance to ask you, Noah, if you were available on November 3rd from 3 to 5. I already checked with Jen on your
program. Right, so we've got...
I have no idea.
Debbie and Adam...
Did you check with Debbie's office?
Yes, we did. So Debbie and Adam are both available. That's the best date for
that. 3 to 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's open for me.
Okay. So
perfect. So we'll get a notice out.
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good. That's easy.
Yeah.
So that's 11.
11, 3, from 3 to 5.
Yeah, November 3rd, 3 to 5.
Got it.
That's the Thursday. Thursday. All right.
Perfect.
Anything else on this one, Debbie?
Thank you for joining me on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's good to take advantage of it. So I'll go ahead and move that we approve the draft agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Noah, second by Debbie, all in favor?
I'm in favor.
Aye. It moves unanimously, and now we can open up the fiscal plan and welcome Barbara Harmon to the meeting. Thanks for being here.
And let me go grab Kevin and Gary.
Okay, Kevin, that's right. I'm going to go back and check. What do you want, Kevin?
And Gary.
And Gary.
Yeah. All right. And let me...
Well,
so we've got some draft info here, and what I did,
you can't get out?
Yeah, can't get out. Thank you all.
Thanks, Ray.
Take care, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
So this is not the full document, but it's the...
I was wondering when that's going to come out. The Tribune has endorsed Ed Wobbe, who does not beach man.
Oh, nice.
I could call him my news. Okay.
So what I've provided here is, you know, based on our last meeting where we talked about the fact that we have, you know, our finances look like they're in really good shape here for the next 5 years. And that the only, as a matter of fact, if you look at, so that this first part section talks about projections of future expenditures and revenue. And if you look at the two charts on page, it says page 5 on there. This is not the full thing. But so you can see that the base projection at the top shows that our revenue and expenditures are balanced. Starting to go over the... where we're at here. So shows that our revenue and expenditures are balanced. In fact, we even have a little bit of a surplus projected for 1 year out there, basically due to some retirements that we expect to happen and filling positions at lower entry levels. In that base projection, there would be no need to implement any kind of additional fiscal strategies other than to continue to do what we have been doing. Because we have made so many, we've restructured, reorganized, made a whole bunch of different cuts, and we have these policies implemented now to you know, hire new staff at lower levels, that we have really pretty much overcome the issue with the loss of the Morro Bay power plant revenue. I mean, that's what this shows, is that our fiscal strategy and the building of our reserves to help do that, you know, get us through that period, has worked. In fact, our cost cutting has been so effective that we actually have not had to really even use the reserves that we projected we were going to use in the first, in last fiscal plan. We actually projected that we would use about $136,000 in the first year of 12-13 last year, and continuing the use of reserves every year and increasing that use up to almost over $200,000 in year this year, 2016, and we actually have not had to use any of those because of the cost-cutting measures that we've done. We delayed filling some vacant positions for a while to help save money, and you know, a number of restructuring of our divisions so that we now are engineering compliance division. We eliminated a management position and promoted an existing staff to supervisor to help out with additional oversight there. And so those things have really helped us to get on an even keel now, and our reserves are still in great shape. We still have about, they're still at about 38%. That's what this shows right here in this top chart. And then just for planning purposes, you know, we looked at, well, if the board were to approve a cost of living increase for staff of like 2% out in the fourth year, 2019-2020, that could create a deficit of about $69,000. And so we would need to fill that one way or another, either through more cost-cutting measures, which is going to be kind of hard given how much we've done in the past, or through additional fiscal strategies. And so as we talked about the last time in our last meeting, the two strategies that really are available are either, we are on page 8, is to utilize district reserves in year 20, in fiscal year 2021, $69,000 in fiscal reserves, or if we were to have a small fee increase of 3.5% on permitted sources, that would completely cure that projected deficit. And that would be, again, we haven't, in the last several years, over the last 9 years, we've only increased fees twice. Once in 2011 for a 5.7%, and then just this last June for 3.75%. So it's been pretty small, and what would happen here if the board approved it would be a it would be another 4 years before a fee increase would happen and would basically be below the rate of inflation, you know, over that time period. So, and that's all dependent on the board approving a cost of living adjustment, you know, for staff. So I've presented it in the, we talked about last time, so I just presented it as an either or under the strategy recommendations and the implementation schedule. You know, the board could pick either one. Those are two available strategies. And if they were to do either one of those would cure that deficit as shown in the bottom chart there on page 9.
And that was in response to our first meeting where...
Right.
So it's clear that it's open to the board's discretion.
It's clear that it's open to the board's discretion. I mean, it's all open to the board's discretion. Including the colon. So that's, you know, just for planning purposes, we put that in there. I don't think the county even looks at that when they do their projections.
This is great, because what we're actually going to be asked to vote on then is this chart on page 9 where it says use of our reserve funds or permanent renewal.
Exactly.
And that comes up in the year 2021.
Yeah.
Right.
And keep in mind that these... What you're voting on here is just approving the plan itself, but that the strategy, whichever strategy the board chose to do, if we even need it, I mean, going 5 years out on a fiscal projection is pretty far. So chances are, in fact, what we've tried to do, although workload has been at such that we haven't been able to manage it this time, but usually... We actually try to update the fiscal plan every 3 years because that five-year projection is, it gets a little shakier after that 3 years out. So, you know, there's a good chance we'll be even updating this plan before that comes to fruition. But
however, we were running really well.
Yeah.
Our budget was going down, so it really
Yeah. Revenues were fine, budget was going down, the existing plan was still working, so it really didn't need to be updated.
Yeah.
This I like the way you put this together, so it lays it out with a clear choice of
people. Right, yeah.
And I just saw one, just because we're here, that we're going to
Right.
I'm going to take a second line up.
Oh, right. That's a typo. Thank you.
Okay.
One other thing I wanted to point out is that in looking at this, we have done so well in our cost cutting, actually, that our budget has only risen by 1.6% since the last fiscal plan. So in the last 5 years, we have kept it pretty much at the same level for almost that entire time.
That's
so
incredible.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of that.
And I really that where you're describing about just through some management strategy where
right.
you do a lot to save a lot of money. I really appreciate that because this body, I mean, directly can think it has ramifications on everybody out there, right?
Regulated.
Yeah,
industry.
And then that
right.
in turn gets passed on to the public if they're right. buying or needing the services, and then you know it has that trickle down.
Sure.
So being able to, because still tricky out there. I think we're seeing, of course, we're seeing some. Private business ramping up, but for the most
right.
part, that whole middle class section is still struggling along.
Right. Well, a fee increase of 3.5% is really minimal over a period of 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, going that long, and
no, I think it's phenomenal, and I'll probably always be the super frugal one. I just want to just go sit over there for a small, but it. From the private sector, especially the smaller businesses, the regulatory costs it's just chipping away everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm a perfect example in practicality of a small family business where just in 1 year you can get a couple Mongo bills from the regional water board and boom, there's a $5,000 just hit you that you were not even expecting at all. And then, it just comes from every direction.
Yeah.
So I'm only saying it's so you guys will know that I appreciate this, and I'm representing the folks out there that say that, we can't do this every year, so we won't exist anymore, kind of thing. So I appreciate that. That's a really fine fiscal plan.
Well, we're very aware of that as well. I mean, we talk to folks all the time about it, and we've been very conscientious about proposing any fee increases.
Yeah, you're showing great restraint.
Yeah.
The word I wrote
well,
for the 1.6 over that many years. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think the way you presented this gives, even with your concerns,
exactly.
the opportunity to be able to support the
if
plan.
If it had to happen.
Knowing the decision.
Right.
We
knew
we were being mandated and we had
right.
to do it. We have to do it.
Right.
It's not going to be any surprise. It's built in.
Yeah.
That trail or that trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that.
And keep in mind, it's a projection. So, you know, we could be better off at that point in time. We could be a little bit higher. I don't know. But, you know, things look really good. The great news is that all the fiscal planning that we have done over the last decade preparing for the loss of that major revenue source from the power plant has paid off. And we've done really well. At, you know, we were thinking, if you remember back when, per capita fee and all that stuff, and, you know, all sorts of measures that we were looking at to try and, you know, I think we had a bake sale in here somewhere. For
bonus, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of brownies.
Yeah. But anyhow, that's...
So, Larry, do you have any language? Because mine starts on page four.
Yeah.
In the preamble introduction, are you going to be able to refer back to some of the work with the previous fiscal plans and position us?
Yeah. In fact, it actually refers to it a little bit in this projections of future expenditures and revenues, which is kind of where I sort of described all that. So the front end of it, the reason I didn't give you that is because we haven't finished that part. That's the historical, and actually in that section there will be some discussion as well.
About the bake sale?
The bake sale is actually in the, it is in there at the end of like additional strategies considered by staff. It's
in there. We can do the car wash when it drives. So
yeah. We didn't do no car wash. So,
I do have
Barbara,
a question.
Yeah, please go for it. Yeah.
So on my page 8, where under the proposal, where we're going into the back to the $69,000 that may be needed, and again, the projection may be needed. So based on the work that you guys have done, then after 2021, any crystal ball related to 22, am I on the right track, 22, 23 related to, is there going to be another $69,000 in projected
for another
reserve? So is this going to keep tolling after we clear 2021? Is the 69 going to keep tolling? I know there's going to be movement with retirees where there'll be probably salary savings based on, you know, a lower entry coming in. So is that kind of how we're going to get back away from the 69 coming in?
Well, we haven't projected out that far, so I mean that's
nice.
That's a pretty long.
I did wonder what happened.
That's a pretty long projection.
And then we're not needed anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
But
I think that if certainly if the the use of reserves is a one time thing, and so if you have to continue to use those, then you're just going to keep completing the reserves down. If you adopt a fee increase that of 3.5%, that ought to take care of that $69,000 ongoing, because it would generate that amount.
Well, and I guess
really
that's my question.
Small
would that be
in the future,
you know,
percentage of the
right.
It's a small percentage.
Right.
So it's almost in the noise.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, we could see people retiring earlier, you know?
Right.
Somebody gets an inheritance or something like that. We're of that age now. You know,
so there's still enough variables then that after 21,
oh, there are.
69, you know, would
we
be
have so
a point of,
above 50.
Of discussion related to. I think it might be important, well, maybe it can just come out in discussion just to indicate that this is the projection. But there's other variables that would be considered, that this doesn't necessarily mean this is a tolling. So then
it
might still be like 75,000.
Well, related to that,
not to have any increase.
Related to that, we
so
have.
Maybe that could be a little focus.
We expect to have 14 staff retire in the next 10 years. So that's substantial.
65% of our
it's staff. More than half our staff.
Well,
you know, so that's So, given that, you know, you can expect that those savings will continue out there. But we can't. You know, there's going to have to be at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to be judicious as to what levels we refill positions at, because we can't just go entry level for everyone, or we won't have anyone that knows what to do.
So,
but I mean, we are definitely looking at certainly in the early years trying to do that. So, I think it's a good news story that we have here.
It's a great news
story.
This
is great.
The fact that, you know, everything looks so good for
And I guess the only other thing would be, we talked last time about $80,000 from Diablo, but that's also, you know, out in the future.
It's 2025.
That's something just kind of lurking, but at least you guys have already identified that. So I think that's that's also part of prudent planning.
Is PCD innovator there, or are you guys just watching from the side?
Yeah. We're not an intervener.
There's like 30.
I'm sure in all the cities and
there's the coalition of cities,
school district,
and then just a whole sort of
right. But let's not get too distracted by that.
No, that's way out there, and that's not a big. You know, at that point in time, it's easier to predict the potential revenue losses than it is to predict the revenue enhancements. But, you know, those do happen out there on occasion. So
some of the Morro-Bay citizens want another power plant in that brownfield site.
I think that I've heard that they want a desal, actually, out of that power plant.
We don't get permit money for desals.
Never mind.
I don't take a lot of energy to run it, so you never
That's
know.
True.
Yeah.
But it'd be wave energy.
Yeah.
Wind.
Yeah. Well, you got waves, too.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. A lot more excitement ahead.
Okay, so the fiscal plan will then just have, you know, the other, if you look through your previous one, I didn't bring copies of the old one again, but it will have the same information just updated in that, but this is the core of it that I've given you right
Very
now.
Good.
Larry, do you think you could recognize the fiscal plan members, the committee members from the previous plans, or at least have them listed in there?
Sure.
They did some really good work.
They did the yeoman work.
That was the heat of the battle. We're kind of here at the...
They were long meetings.
Yeah. How many? Yeah. Probably twice as many?
Oh, yeah.
We did not have to check weapons.
Yeah, we were kind of...
We were looking for money.
We're drafting off their hard work here on this.
We get no credit.
I think it was Frank... and John and Joe Costello and Adam.
Adam Hill?
Yeah. John Hammond.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good committee. If you can, it'd be nice to mention them. Right.
Yeah, I have to look back and see, but I think that's who was on the last time.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else from either you two or staff on it? Looking good?
We're good.
All right, so would you like us to make a motion to accept the draft and recommend we present it to the board?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll go ahead and move that we accept the draft and that it is presented to the board at the next meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Noah, second by Barbara. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
We have unanimous, and I believe we're ready to adjourn unless there's anything else.
Great. No, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your service on this. I appreciate it. And I am so happy it was much easier than it has been in previous rounds.
All those strategies you had to consider, analyze, and debate over.